The Baptist Bible Hour now comes to you under the direction of Elder Lasaire Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church.
Oh, for a thousand tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise, the glories of my God and King, the triumphs of His grace.
This is Lasaire Bradley, Jr., inviting you to stay tuned for another message of God's sovereign grace. On the broadcast this past Sunday, we used the first part of a message entitled The First Church. We will use the second half of that message at a later time, but today I want to bring you the first part of a sermon I preached here at Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church last Sunday morning. It is entitled Help in Trouble. Concern about the coronavirus is on everyone's mind. And I think it's important to remember that our help in this trouble, as it is in any trouble, is in the Lord. If you would like to get a copy of this complete message on CD or last Sunday's message on the First Church, request that when writing us at the Baptist Bible Hour, Box 17037, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45217. We look forward to hearing from you. I ask that you pray not only that the Lord will bless our leaders, bless this country in this difficult time, but bless this effort to get out the message of God's sovereign grace. If you can help us with the support of the program, we certainly will be thankful for it. This is a time of trouble around the world. The coronavirus has infected thousands, and many have died. President Trump has declared a state of emergency for the United States. The President has also called for a national day of prayer, stating, "We are a country that throughout our history has looked to God for protection and strength in times like these." We have recognized this day and have had this special prayer in our service. We need help. Our country needs help. Our leaders need help. The nations of the earth need help. So my subject is help in trouble. I read from Psalm 46, beginning with verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. This passage is talking about big trouble. The coronavirus is a problem. It's a trouble we're concerned about. But it doesn't compare with what's described in this passage. If the mountains should be carried into the sea, if the earth is trembling and shaking. I remember a few years ago, there was a minor earthquake on a Sunday evening when we were having service. Interestingly enough, people on one side of the building felt it and people on the other side did not. And the ones that didn't feel it were curious about why the people on the other side appeared suddenly to have some bit of anxiety. Well, in talking to people who have been in more severe earthquakes, you can just imagine what uncertainty is felt when the earth itself begins to shake beneath you. Well, this is talking about a mighty change, the earth being removed, the mountains being carried into the midst of the sea, the waters roaring. When we read that, we think about the tsunami a few years back that took the life of so many people in another country. But in all this, there's a reminder. God is our refuge, a very present help in trouble. So let's think about the scope of trouble. First of all, considering the source of it. In the Garden of Eden, there was no trouble. There was peace. There was no sickness, no disease, no viruses, no death. It was a beautiful paradise. But after sin, after Adam willfully transgressed the commandment of God that you're not to partake of this forbidden fruit, the consequences came. It said that the woman would bring forth children with pain. It said for the man, as he works and toils, that the ground would be cursed and would bring forth thorns and thistles. This is the beginning of trouble. They were driven from the garden to face suffering, disease, storms, floods, and death. All of it came as a result of sin. And so the scriptures make it perfectly clear that we need not be surprised when we encounter troubles of whatever sort they might be. The book of Job, chapter 14, verse 1 says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." Full of trouble. You reach certain places in life where you say, I can certainly relate to that text. It's not just the ordinary troubles that I face from time to time, but right now it seems like they're piling up. There's all kinds of troubles. The word trouble speaks of being in a tight place, of being in a corner and unable to get out. Now, there were all kinds of troubles in Old Testament times, many of them sent as judgment from God because of sin. In Noah's day, there was a worldwide flood that destroyed all the inhabitants of the earth, save the 8 souls that were in Noah's ark. When Moses appeared before Pharaoh and on God's behalf said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" And one by one, God sent the 10 plagues on that country. There was frogs, lice, disease in the cattle. The river turned to blood, darkness. On it went till finally the death of the firstborn. The land was devastated, and ultimately Pharaoh's armies drowned in the depths of the sea, and Pharaoh came to recognize, yes, God is on the throne. So when he first is asking the question, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" he found out. And all those who take that view will one day discover who God is. God rained hailstones down on the Amorites when they were fighting against Joshua, killed multitudes. He sent a plague on the Philistines when they captured the Ark of the Covenant. And they finally decided it was best to get rid of this ark because it was causing them nothing but trouble. Epidemics, pandemics can indeed be judgment from God. It would not be surprising if God would send worldwide judgment, considering that here in our country that thousands of babies are put to death while still in the mother's womb, that society has come to reject God's specific plan for what marriage ought to be, that there are many with that attitude represented by Pharaoh, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" If judgment came, we couldn't be surprised. But at the same time, we have to be careful not to pass judgment ourselves. A person might say, well, this country is certainly suffering because of this sin or that sin, or this individual is having a tough time and God must be dealing with them. That may not necessarily be the case. Job was an upright man, yet he met with terrible, terrible troubles. And his friends who came to advise him were mistaken. They had the idea that if Job would just confess some deep, dark sin, that things could be better. But it was within the sovereign purpose of God to bring these afflictions into the life of Job. He was teaching Job something. He was teaching something to all of us, because his experience recorded in the pages of Scripture is of great instructive value to us today. When there was some speaking to Jesus about the fact that the Tower of Siloam fell upon 18 souls, and there were those who were offering sacrifices to God, but they were slain and their blood was mingled with the sacrifices. And these people were imagining that they must be more wicked than anybody else. And what was Jesus' response? He says, "I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." So it is to be acknowledged that God does sometimes, has done it in the past, will do it yet, send judgment because of sin. But stop short of passing your own personal judgment to decide exactly what God is doing and why an individual or a particular country might be suffering. All kinds of plagues have brought trouble down through the years, not only in Old Testament times, but in 1665, there was a great plague that hit the city of London, England. Many were dying. Many were fleeing the city for fear that they would die. But the Puritan preachers remained in the city and visited the sick and buried the dead. It was a very difficult time indeed, but God blessed his servants to be an example in those dark days. Spurgeon had not been in London very long. He came there as a young preacher. And shortly after he arrived, in the year 1854, the cholera plague broke out. On a daily basis, he was visiting the sick and preaching funerals. He said he reached the point that he was physically and emotionally exhausted, wondering how he could possibly go on. But he found a promise in God's word that gave him courage, and turning to the Lord, he had the strength to continue. And so it was a dark time, and yet one in which God used his faithful servant to be able to minister to those around him. In 1918, the churches of Washington, D.C. had to discontinue services during the outbreak of the Spanish flu. So the fact that these epidemics, pandemics, plagues, troubles come upon us, it's not something new. It's not something to be startled about as though this has never occurred. Now we think about this current crisis. Well, it's a crisis with much uncertainty. There's uncertainty about how the virus is transmitted. I think it's appropriate that we try to heed the warnings that are given and conduct ourselves in a conservative way. Now, I will admit that having to give up handshaking is tough. We've already found out that here this morning as I've waved at some of you instead of shaking your hand. Handshaking is a long-term Baptist tradition, so that's hard to avoid. But we want to be safe and express our greetings in some other form. We want to do everything we can to comply with any regulation that's passed by the government that is realistic and doesn't violate our religious liberties. And so there is much uncertainty about how long this thing will last. That's one thing that always causes a degree of anxiety. Somebody said, well, when will it be over? Well, nobody knows. And somebody comes on the TV and says, well, they believe there'll be at least 100,000 cases in the state of Ohio. Now, how does anybody know that? Nobody can tell how many cases are going to be, how long it's going to last. And so as people try to pose as experts, they often add to the concerns and anxiety that already exist. In fact, many in the media reflect their personal prejudices as they give report of what's happening and do so to really generate anxiety. It's a crisis with far-reaching effects. Schools being closed, some businesses being closed, companies that normally have their people traveling say there's no more travel, airlines cutting back dramatically on the number of flights that they're operating. People in some cases are being asked to work from home. Jobs, therefore, being affected, major sporting events being canceled. It's possible there could be some permanent changes as a result of what's occurring now. Maybe decided that it's not necessary for everybody to be in the office every day. Might be decided that some of the travel that was thought to be so important isn't really necessary. Might be some change as far as how schools are conducted. But all of that is uncertainty, which we can only say, yes, this is a unique time, a time of special trouble. Certainly with the stock market going down and up, it has caused a lot of anxiety with many. It may bring about long-term changes as far as investments are concerned, how business is done in the marketplace. But considering the scope of the trouble, let's think about the source of help. And we have to recognize that it's not in man to bring about a total solution. There's work for men to do. We're thankful for those who are working to find a cure and understand that there are at least two laboratories that feel that they're close to having some medication that would help. And we pray that they will be successful. But ultimately, our help is not in man. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh the flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. So if you get the idea that because men are wise and capable that we rest upon them, we're already warned here in Scripture that that's not the case. That if you're trusting man rather than trusting God, you're in trouble. The old hymn phrased it like this, stand up for Jesus, stand in his strength alone. The arm of flesh will fail you, ye dare not trust your own. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 3 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Acknowledge him. Come before the Lord admitting our lack of wisdom, our lack of strength, our lack of ability to conquer whatever the problem that we're dealing with, whether it be this dreadful virus or whether it be personal, individual problems and troubles that you may be dealing with at the present time. Certainly a trouble of this magnitude brings us face to face with the fact that we are weak, frail creatures. That boasting is certainly out of order. That man boasting in his own wisdom and his own strength and his own accomplishments is empty and vain. Just shows how everything all over the world can be affected. All kinds of public gatherings and events and travel, everything all of a sudden changed because of a little virus that you can't even see. We're frail creatures. Life is fragile. But help is in God. First of all, we emphasize the point that He is able to help. And that's what we find in this psalm. Verse 1 says, God is our refuge. And just as the psalm starts with God, it ends with God. Verse 11 says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Now that's reassuring, is it not? The God of Jacob is our refuge. The Lord of hosts is with us. A refuge. A refuge is a shelter, a place of protection when it seems everything is falling apart. Now, sometimes it doesn't take a pandemic like we're facing at the moment to feel like your world personally is falling apart. You can have trials, troubles, sicknesses, difficulties in your own life where just one thing after another seems to go wrong and say, it's just, I'm ready to give up. I feel like it's all falling apart. But we're talking about a refuge, a hiding place, a place of protection, a place when you go, when you feel like everything is falling apart. Psalm 63, verse 11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. So we're talking about the fact that God is able to help. He's able to help because power belongs to God. He is the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. There's no storm that can rage. There is no comet that can fall out of the sky. There is no virus that can go on a rampage that's out of God's control. Aren't you glad to know that? God rules and reigns. As R.C. Sproul often said, if there is one single molecule in this universe running around loose, totally free of God's sovereignty, then we have no guarantee that a single promise of God will ever be fulfilled. End of quote. Not a single molecule running free. God is in control. Not only is God able to help because of His power, because of His sovereign majesty, because He's working all things after the counsel of His own will, He's willing to help. He's willing to help. He's described in this psalm as being a present help. Not a help that's at such a distance you can't reach Him. Sometimes a person may have said to you, now if you ever need any help, call on me. And you called on them, and they weren't available, or they couldn't help you anyway. But God is a very present help. Psalm 68, verse 33. To him that rideth upon the heavens of heavens, which were of old, lo, he doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. You get that? He sends out his voice. It's a mighty voice. Think about it. It was by his voice that he created the heaven and the earth. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He created man from the dust of the earth, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And so he rides upon the heaven of heavens. He doth send out his voice, and that a mighty voice. Ascribe ye strength unto God. His excellency is over Israel, and his strength is in the clouds. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy place. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. He has a mighty voice. He has all power. Nothing too hard for the Lord. He's working his will. He's accomplishing his purpose. He's looking after his people. He's exalting his name. He giveth strength and power to his people. We have to come before him admitting our weakness. We need help. We need his strength. We need his power. We need his grace. In trouble. This is indeed a time of trouble, something far beyond anything we've experienced before. But God is still on the throne. He's the sovereign ruler of heaven and earth. He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. If you would like to get this complete message on CD, request it when writing us. And until next week at this same time, may the Lord richly bless you all.
The Baptist Bible Hour has come to you under the direction of Elder Lasair Bradley, Jr., pastor of the Cincinnati Primitive Baptist Church. Address all mail to the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217. That's the Baptist Bible Hour, Cincinnati, Ohio 45217.